Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 169, Things You Must Know About Prayer, Part 1. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message in Fort Wayne, Indiana on January 24th, 2021.
So just want to speak for a moment. Welcome people on Facebook Live and YouTube and whatever other media you're picking us up on. You soon will be able to pick us up from our website, mfhfw.org. We're doing some experiments with that to embed these messages there. So that'll be great. Praise the Lord. We're thankful for Oliver and for Santos and for others that are working on this project. We live in a different kind of time, and we need to keep reaching out by media. But I do want to say this. It is time to come back to church, folks.
Amen.
You know, Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Is he faithful?
Yes.
Or isn't he faithful?
Yes.
Then it says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another in love and good works." You know, you might be able to do that social distancing, but it's a little more difficult. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. So I'm encouraging you this morning. Come back. It's time to come back.
Amen.
Sometimes it's just time.
Yes.
And now it's the time.
Yep.
You know, we have some freedoms in this nation yet. You better
Amen.
Enjoy them now
yes.
while you can enjoy them.
Yes.
So
Amen.
Come back. It's time to come back in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So listen to the word. It's If you don't like what I say, read it in the words. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. There's some other stuff in there that's really good in Hebrews chapter 10. Praise the Lord. So we're speaking these days, these last few Sundays, since the 1st of January, on the subject of prayer. The subject of prayer is extremely important. It's vital. It's vital to the life of the believer. And it's been said that there is so much in prayer that every one of us could learn if we would just keep an open heart to the Word and to the Spirit of God. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask you to help us open our hearts to your Word and to your Spirit. Lord, we've very possibly, probably, most likely have missed it in many ways over the years, Father, concerning our prayer life and other things in our life. And Lord, we're thankful that you're faithful to forgive anybody who will confess their sins and who will come to you, Lord. Thank you that you won't cast anybody out. You're not condemning anybody. And Jesus died for everybody and he loves everybody. Thank you, Father God, for your grace and for your mercy. But Lord, give us open hearts today. Give us open lives today so that we can receive your word and what your Spirit is saying about the word. And for it, we're thankful and grateful in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, in the Bible, in the New Testament, Jesus' disciples entreated him to teach them to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. That should mean to us that they valued not just the subject of prayer, but a lifestyle of prayer. Some of them had been John's disciples. Some of them had been taught by John how to pray. And so they knew that it was an important subject. Evidently, John put emphasis on prayer. He was a prophetic person. He was tough. He preached a gospel of repentance. He preached a word of repentance, repentance from dead works and faith towards God. He announced the coming of Jesus. He said, "I must decrease and he must increase," and so forth. So he wasn't about himself. He was about promoting the kingdom of God. He was a straight shooter. He was a tough guy. He was a rough guy. He lived a rough life. But he was a man of God. Everybody recognized him as a man of God, even his enemies. Even the ones who took his head off at the end recognized that he was a man of God and feared him. So these disciples had been taught by him, many of them, several of them. Obviously, they had talked to the other friends that were coalescing around Jesus as a discipleship group, and they're asking Jesus, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. So without mentioning John or what he taught, Jesus gave them a simple outline or a model to follow. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Many times it's memorized as children and so forth and so on, and I suppose that's a good place to start with memorized prayers, just to, you know, to put something in your spirit. It is the Word of God and so forth, but really it's a model of praying. It gives you some concept of prayer. It gives you some things to look at, our Father who is in heaven and so forth and so on. But I don't think he intended it really to be a memorized prayer, although it's good to have committed it to memory, because then you can follow the outline of what he has given you. Praise the Lord. So not condemning anybody who uses that prayer or prays that prayer, or any churches that use it. You just keep on doing what God leads you to do. Praise the Lord. So, but without mentioning that, he gives him this model, and then over the centuries, it became a memorized recitation held dear by the church. And so we still hold that dear, and we hold it up as this. These were words of Jesus. These were his instructions. But the New Testament writers have given us really a rich amount of instruction on the power of prayer and its importance in the lives of believers of every age. But prayer just didn't start with the New Covenant, with the New Testament. It started at the beginning. You know, it started with a relationship with God and Adam and Eve in the garden. And that is really what we should be reaching for. We should be reaching for a relationship where we can talk to God and hear his voice. Amen? You say, can you pray and hear him at the same time? Yeah, and he can talk and hear at the same time too. And he will speak to you in your prayer time, in your quiet time with him. He will reach into your life and he'll remind you of things. Sometimes he convicts us of things. Sometimes he just loves on us. Sometimes he just shows us things that are to come, and all kinds of things can happen out of your prayer life if you would develop it. Amen? Amen. So that's what we're encouraging you to do in these days. We've come out of the time of fasting, and thankfully there have been a lot of good things come out. Some people have been attacked during this amount of time, and they're fighting back. In Jesus' name, thank you for your prayers for those that are struggling with some stuff. But it's normal when you take steps. When you take steps to advance your life with God, we do have an enemy out there, and he will push back. He'll check out to see if you believe what you say you believe. He'll check out to see whether you're really a person that takes the Word of God seriously, or if you just back down and say, "Look, this is too tough. This is too hard." Like somebody said just a little earlier in service, this is boot camp anyway. So you know, just get used to it. Amen. Put your armor on and get used to it. Do what Ellie just told you to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, let the evangelist come out in her anytime. Praise God. It's good for you. It's good for us. She preaches tough like my pastor used to preach. Yeah, sometimes we were crawling under the pews and ducking. You either loved him or you hated him. So there wasn't kind of any in between. Just like if you've watched some of his messages on video or YouTube or television, you know, you probably know what I mean. Praise the Lord. But anyway, prayer didn't start with the New Testament. It started in the Old Covenant. And I want to take you to the story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. They were surrounded by enemies. They had three enemy armies that were coming against them: Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir. And they were outnumbered greatly. They were outarmed greatly. And they were facing devastation. They were facing annihilation. They were facing tremendous destruction from these enemies. So Jehoshaphat, the king at that time, called the people together. He called them together to pray. Can you imagine that? It was a tough time in their nation. It was a tough time amongst their people. And he was calling them to prayer. Verse 4 says, "So the people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help." When you're in trouble, you better start seeking him. Better yet, seek him before you get in trouble.
Amen.
That's a good idea. Amen. Verse 5 says, "Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the courtyard of the temple of the Lord." So they're coming together. They're assembling. It's important to assemble, as I mentioned before. There's power in corporate prayer, as we preached in the last message. That's what they were doing. This is what you would call corporate prayer. They're coming together to pray. He prayed, O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are God in the heaven. You are the ruler of the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. That's like saying, our Father who is in heaven. Amen. So if you want to know where Jesus got his model prayer, just read along with me. So he's addressing God. He's magnifying him. He's making him big. Verse 7, our God, did you not drive out all those who lived in the land when your people arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war or plague or famine, that would cover a couple of things that are going on in our world today, right? We can come and stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out for you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. This place here is called my Father's house. My Father's house should be a house of prayer for all nations, the Bible says. Those were words of Jesus. When he was casting the money changers out of the temple, he said, don't make this a den of thieves. My Father's house is a house of prayer for all nations. He was referring back here to the book of 2 Chronicles, the chapter 20, Jehoshaphat declaring this, making this declaration, and to the time when Solomon dedicated this temple as a place where people could come together to pray. It's important to come together. It's important to have corporate prayer. It's important to force the enemy, to enforce the defeat of the enemy that Jesus won the victory over. Amen? Praise the Lord. You do that by coming together like this. Your people settled here and they built this temple to honor your name. They said, verse 9, whenever we are faced with calamities such as war, plague, or famine, we can come and stand in your presence in this temple where your name is honored. We cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. You know, there's nothing negative in this message, is there? No. Everything is affirmative and positive. He's not crying. He's not boo-hooing. You know, look what's happening to us. Oh, me, poor me. God, what, we don't know. I mean, just... He's laying it out here. Verse 10. Now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. I guess God can see that, right? Yes. He can see what's going on in the United States of America. He can see what's going on in the streets of our cities. Yes. He can see the fires. He can see the devastation. He can see the hatred. He can see all of those kind of things. He can see what's going on in our government. He knows what's going on. He's not AWOL, absent without leave. He's here. Amen? He's here and he's looking and he's watching. And there's some folks that better look out. There's some folks. Now Siri wants to talk to me here. Shut up, Siri. So, see, just distractions and interruptions and whatever, you know, whatever you can do. Just devil, you're a liar. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
So he's not absent without leave. He is here. He's watching. He's looking. And there's some folks that ought to watch out.
Yep.
Because there's a day of reckoning coming.
Yep.
You know, January might have been an upheaval and February might be tough. But deliverance is coming in March. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Verse 10, now see what the armies of Ammon and Mount Seir and Moab are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade these nations when Israel left Egypt, so they went around and did not destroy them. Now see how they have rewarded us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. You know, that's still happening today in the nation of Israel. A little later we're going to have a video in which one of our former congresswomen will... We'll talk about some of that. And now see how they reward us. They're going to throw us out. Verse 12, O God, won't you stop them? It's a fair question, right? We can look at the circumstances, situations in our nation to say, oh God, won't you stop them?
Amen.
We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do. But we are looking to you for your help.
Yes, amen.
Isn't that a good place to be?
Yes.
Amen. So he's not despairing. He's pointing out what the issue is, and he's just saying, God, we're looking to you for your help. We don't know exactly what to do. There's some things facing us in the next months. We don't know exactly what to do. But God, we are looking to you for your help.
Amen.
Isn't this an awesome prayer? I mean,
yes.
You know, if you want some encouragement in your life on how to pray, just go to places like this and just learn. Learn the principles of prayer.
Amen.
Because if you read the rest of this story, you see that the outcome was pretty tremendous. So verse 13 says, as all of the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Do you know they've been fasting? Mm-hmm. The men of Judah, their wives, their children, they even made the donkeys and the sheep fast. You know, when our kids were little, we always had times of fasting. It was tough on those little kids. Probably if the Department of Public Welfare had known about it, they would have removed the children from our home, because I'm sure they would have considered us unfit parents. Now, my wife was a social worker when we came out of college, so she knows a lot about the inner workings of departments of public welfare. But you know, you have to obey God rather than men. Amen. And we were having boot camp with our kids. Now, we didn't starve them to death, and we didn't make them do things they couldn't do, but they did learn to fast and pray. And you know what? Today, it's standing them good stead.
Amen.
Because they are men and women of God.
Yes.
Full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, all of them.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So they're standing here before God. They're fasting. They're praying with their wives, their little ones, and their children. The Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, Levite, who was the descendant of Asaph. Asaph was one of the worshipers in the temple. So this guy came from a family of worship. It's so important what you instill into your children and your grandchildren, to raise them up to be people of worship. Because God speaks to people like that, and this spirit of prophecy came on this gentleman. And he said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. He could say that to you today, and he's saying it right now to you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, the things that are around you that are oppressing you. For the battle is not yours, but God's. You understand, this battle that we're in isn't ours, it's God's.
Amen.
You know, we look at the news and we look at all those things, it's easy to get discouraged and dismayed. He's saying, don't be afraid. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat the small stuff. I've got it.
Amen.
I've got it covered. This battle is not yours, it's God's. That doesn't mean we just sit around and say, okay, we're just sitting around, just da-da-da-da, la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la-la-la. La la la, la la la. I go to church. I say now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and then I go to sleep before I even end the prayer. Before I ever get to Jesus' name, I'm sleeping. That's not what this is about. This is about being active, being proactive, being awake, alert, being watchful, being watchmen on the wall, watchwomen on the wall. Amen? Having your armor on, carrying the sword in one hand, the shofar in the other hand. Amen? Doing your work and being armed at the same time. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So already I've preached all my sermon and I'm just doing the introduction. So I've got 5 minutes now. Praise the Lord. I'll give you the first point. The title of my message today is Things You Must Know About Prayer. I started out with seven things that you should know about prayer, and I figured I better cut it down to three. But we'll get to one. So the first thing you should know about prayer is that prayer is commanded. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Remember, this is Jesus talking. This isn't me. And he said this to them. He said, there was a judge in a certain city, and he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while. But finally he said to himself, I don't fear God and I don't care about people. So this judge was exactly what you would call a godly person, right?
Right.
He's even saying, I don't fear God and I don't care about people. I don't know how he got to be a judge. He shouldn't be a judge. Amen. We probably got some judges in our nation like this. They don't fear God and they don't care about people either.
Right.
They shouldn't be judges, but somebody appointed them. Amen. Somebody elected them. Somebody appointed them. Nobody elected them. They're all appointed, I think. I think we have a chance in Indiana to approve them for another term and stuff like that. But they're appointed positions. So anyway, whatever is the case, he said, but this woman is driving me crazy. Now, nothing against you ladies. Everything is fine. This is not a message against women. Amen. He said, this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests. Okay, so whatever. Verse 6. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. So he's saying, pay attention. Amen. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think, this is the important part, so don't you think that God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? So when Jesus talks about and commands us to pray, he says, always pray, never give up. He's talking about people who are committed to crying out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? Question mark. Will he? Is God going to keep putting you off if you have a heart of prayer and you keep pressing? You keep pressing into the things of God. You keep pressing for an answer. You keep pressing for results. You keep increasing your prayer life. Is he going to put you off? No, he's not going to put you off. Verse 8 says, I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. Everybody say quickly.
Quickly.
Okay, so we want quick answers. But are we going to cry day and night? Are we going to press into God? Are we really going to be serious about this thing? Are we just going to say, well, somebody will pray. They'll pray at church. We pray on Sunday. Jesus said, always pray, never give up. Always pray, never give up. You say, well, it didn't help last week. I got sick anyway. Always pray, never give up.
Amen.
Yeah, but my finances. Always pray, never give up.
Amen.
Yeah, but my job. Always pray, never give up.
Amen.
My family. Always pray, never give up. Because God's a just God. He's not the unjust judge. How much more will he give an answer to you for your prayer? And then he asks the question. He says the judge will grant it to them quickly. He'll give them justice quickly. Then he says, but when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? Oh, so that might be the problem. We're not trusting him, right? So if you've given up on your prayer life, you better check out your faith life. Because he's looking for faith. Those people that stood before him in Jehoshaphat's time, they were coming to him in faith. And look what the answer was. The battle's not yours, it's mine, says the Lord. So let's let him do what he's good at doing. Amen?
Amen.
So you know, when they got out to fight that army, this is the end of the Jehoshaphat story, when they got out to fight the army, they discovered something. All of those three armies had turned against each other and killed each other. They were all dead. There wasn't one living person left out of that massive, massive three-part army that was assembled against them. And the Bible says it took them 3 days to gather up all the stuff, all the loot that these guys were carrying and carry it back to Jerusalem. It was payday. It was payday for Jehoshaphat and his people who had fasted and prayed a couple of days and sought the Lord and sought his face. Payday is coming. It might be in March. So always pray. Never give up. So I want to end this message with a video. This is a former congresswoman, Michelle Bachmann. She's on a prayer call that I was on this week. A few years ago, my friend Albert Wexler, who you'll see introducing sort of this, I mean, he comes on and asks her a question. And actually, I think she starts out speaking, but my friend Albert Wexler asked me if I would be one of the founding members of Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast, because we've been friends for many, many years. And I just happened to be there on a key day when he was being asked to direct this work. So Michelle comes on and she's talking about some things that are related to current events, things that are coming against Israel and so forth. And then she ends it in a prayer. So what I wanted you to see is that, you know, not all politicians are corrupt.
Amen.
We do have some men and women of faith in our government. She's no longer a congresswoman. She's the dean or the regent of at CBN University, I think, for some department or something like that. She just accepted a new position. But she's a woman of prayer. Pastor Karen and I have talked to her a number of times on the bus doing some things at Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast. She's the real deal. She's a real woman of God.
Amen.
So let's listen to see what she has to say.
It seemed as though there was an umbrella over President Trump. Every dart that could be thrown at him was thrown at him, but it's like they all bounced off. But after January 28th, it seemed to me, this is my opinion only, it seemed to me that God's hand of favor was lifted, that it was lifted off of the Prime Minister of Israel, lifted off of the President of the United States, lifted off of our respective nations. And why? Why? Because contained within that peace plan, the ultimate goal was the division of the land of Israel and the division of Jerusalem, two prohibitions in the Bible. Now, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what more to say about that, other than it has been heartbreaking to see what has happened in the course of this year. Israel has undergone election after election after election, and once again, there's instability in Israel. For the Israeli people, they've been under lockdown. It's been devastating what's happened with COVID, devastating with what's happened with COVID here in the United States. And I think, I'm not judging. I'm not saying that I have any special revelation about this. All I know is that I agree with Pastor Steve. I agree that our God is true. Our God is real. His word is everlasting. His blood redeems us all. And so I think when we stand squarely on his word, when we stand in awe and reverence of him, when we fear God, meaning when we reverence God, and we put our times in his hands, and we do everything we can to have ears to hear and listen to him, there is favor in that. And this year, it seems as though that favor has been lifted. And so, to me, the ultimate thing that man can always do is to repent and turn to God and cry out for our nations and cry out for our leaders. I don't believe at all that this is a time to be discouraged or this is a time to despair. I think we need to rebuke that. We need to rebuke discouragement. We need to rebuke fear. Because why would we be discouraged and fearful when we serve an almighty, all-powerful God?
Amen.
He has not forgotten us. He has not abandoned us.
Right.
In fact, I've been living in Exodus 14. And in Exodus 14, God has led his people away from the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh finally let them go, and they're right up against the Red Sea. They're not exactly sure how they're going to move from there, but they know where they are. And then they look over their shoulders, and all of a sudden they hear the sound of horses' hooves behind them. And they look up, and they see Pharaoh's army. And they think, oh my goodness, you brought us here to kill us? What happened? And the word says they cried out to God. They didn't even have to think about it. It was an instantaneous attack, and they cried out to God. And then they grumbled to Moses about it. Real honest despair. We get that. And then when Moses spoke to God, God said to him, tell the people to be calm. Tell the people to trust. I've got this. And then tell them to move. Meaning God already was acting. And so that's the word that I want to give us today for the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast. As we see what looks like the Knesset falling apart, Israel not knowing when they're going to go open up, if they'll open up from the lockdown, looking at America, a changing of the guard literally tomorrow in America, exchanging a pro-Jerusalem, a pro-Israel, the most pro-Israel and pro-Jerusalem president we've ever had in America. And then the reins are handed over to a new administration that has already telegraphed to the world how anti-Israel they are, how they intend to reignite and refashion the disastrous Iranian agreement. We look at this, the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast. We look at these events. We can't believe it. We're stunned. And yet, as we're stunned, we need to do what we've always been told to do throughout all of time. And that is humble ourselves, confess our sins, cry out to God, but recognize he wants us to move. He wants us to act. So let's take our belief, let's take our faith, and let's move with his spirit. So Albert, with your permission, if I can go ahead and pray.
Please pray.
Okay, please join me. Oh, Father God. We exalt you, O Holy Father, O God of Israel, O God, where you have built and established your throne in Jerusalem. O Father, it is to you. You are that selfsame Holy Spirit that the children of Israel cried out to, Father, as they were on the shore of the Red Sea. Not knowing if they would have another breath or if they would see their children killed. Father, you knew the circumstance before you even brought them there. And you knew your way of escape. You are the God of the wind and the waves. And you blew the east wind, Father. And you dried the very bottom of the sea that your children might pass through. Oh God, we lift up to you today, Father, the circumstance of Jerusalem, the circumstance of the Jewish people, the circumstance of Israel and of our nation, oh God. We lift up to you this circumstance. We lift up to you this plague of coronavirus. Oh God, you know from whence it came, but you know to where it will go. And so, Father, we ask that you would rebuke the coronavirus. We ask that you would extinguish the coronavirus, that you would extinguish it beginning in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Let Jerusalem, oh God, be the first city in the world to be free of this plague of coronavirus. Lord, would you hear our prayer and would you extinguish it? Would you send your angels to remove the plague from Jerusalem? Lord, would you remove the plague from Judea and Samaria? Would you remove it from all Israel? Would you heal the Jewish people, Father, who are languishing in hospitals and in their homes today? Oh God, Would you free that nation from this plague, from the judgment that is upon the earth? Father, I pray the same for the United States. Lord, we ask that in faith, believing, recognizing that you are the God of Israel, recognizing that we are sinful. But, oh God, we can boldly come before you in faith, believing, because you put your righteousness upon us as a mantle. And we can boldly come before you and ask you these things, just as the children of Israel did when they didn't know what to do. And yet, Father, your mediator, who was Moses, was calm in that moment and told the children of Israel what to do. Oh God, I pray that you would give us calmness today. I ask that you would give us strength today. Lord, I ask that we would see your miraculous hand today with the scourge that is in our nations with this plague. And Lord, the scourge that is in our nation of governmental uncertainty. Lord, we have not seen this level of governmental uncertainty in both nations since the start of the Jerusalem prayer breakfast. This is the most uncertain it's ever been. And so I thank you, oh God, that you created this group and network of believers, that we could have our hearts and our spirits knitted together so that we could pray to you with one voice, one unified voice, crying out to you for your people, crying out for your nation, crying out for Jerusalem. Oh Lord, that is what we do by faith. We cry out to you, oh God. Lord, not with discouraged, downcast hearts, but with joy-filled, confident hearts, because you are a God worthy of our praise. You are a God who hears when we cry. And oh Lord, you will lead and guide and protect. And I thank you for that. You neither slumber nor sleep. When it comes to Israel, oh God, you are 24/7. And so we lift our hearts to you. We praise you. We worship you. We lift our hearts to you for the United States of America, that miraculously, Lord, when it seems all hope is lost, Father, that you would allow our nation to be a nation that would bless the Jewish people. Would you allow our nation to bless Israel and bless Jerusalem, Lord, as we have for these last 4 years? Would you work a miracle so strange, God, that the world would take note, that our nation would stay in a posture of blessing and not turn to cursing? I pray for every nation that is represented on this call today, Lord, from all the sainted believers who are here on this call. I pray that their nations also would be nations that would bless Israel, that they would be sheep nations and not goat nations. So, Father, that is what we pray. Isaiah 2:2, that the nations would stream to Jerusalem, O God, in blessing. And I thank you, O God, that by faith you hear this prayer in your precious name of Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you so much. This is so powerful, and this is such an encouraging message and powerful prayer. Thank you. Thank you so much for doing this.
So there are many leaders, government leaders, people from the EU, people from nations of the world on that call. And there's power in prayer, power in united prayer. Obviously, it's difficult for us to get together in Jerusalem. We had to have the prayer breakfast this past year. We had to do it remotely and via Zoom. But we're believing that we can reestablished this year, and in June we're planning to get together in Jerusalem to pray again. The last time we had 700 people from 70 nations that were there, And so we're believing that it will continue to grow and become really a powerful thing for praying for the peace of Jerusalem and for establishing peace in the Middle East. Now, you see the results of it. Many of the Arab nations are now coming and making peace with Israel. It's a result of prayer, because this thing was unheard of before. President after president have tried to resolve that situation and circumstance, and they never were able to do it. But after Donald Trump moved the embassy to Israel, to Jerusalem, a lot of things changed. And so we're seeing the fruit of that now. So we keep praying. Our love gifts, our first fruits gifts this month actually will be going to the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast as part of a support for the work that they're doing and organizing this in Jerusalem and in many nations. And it might be that this year there'll be a Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast in Nashville. If that actually happens, we will try to arrange to take people here from the church there, because Nashville isn't so far, that we can go and worship together and be a part of a more of a local event. Praise the Lord. So anyway, I want to close my message with James chapter 5, verse 7, from the Amplified Classic Version. It says, "So be patient, brethren, as you wait till the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits expectantly for the precious harvest from the land. See how he keeps up his patient vigil over it until he receives the early and the late rains." Verse 8, "So you must also be patient. Establish your hearts, strengthen and confirm them in the final certainty, for the coming of the Lord is very near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Look, the judge is already standing at the very door." So, Father, we just pray right now that above everything that we do, Lord, that we would be always ready for your coming. Lord, that we would be like the wise virgins who had their lamps lit and had extra oil with them, Lord. We pray for the oil of the Holy Spirit, Lord, the new wine of the Holy Spirit to fill our lives, Lord, so that we be continually in a state of readiness, Lord, for the day and the moment that you come, because nobody knows when that day is. But your word says that you are standing at the door. So, Lord, we just are expectant towards that. But while we're here, you said that we should occupy this place. Father, that means that we need to be active and strong. Strong in you, in the power of your might, having on our armor, Lord, and doing the things that you've called us to do. We can't back down. That we must continue to pray and never give up and never faint, because your coming is near, Lord. It's day to daylight yet, but the night is soon coming, and then it'll be too late. So, Lord, we're asking you for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Lord, open the eyes of our understanding so they can be enlightened and know what is the hope of your calling, and know what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and know what is the exceeding greatness of your power that works in us, the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for keeping your hand of protection over us, for giving us guidance and direction and wisdom, Lord, and for giving us your wonderful provision, Lord, because we're covenant people of a covenant-keeping God. For it, we give you glory, honor, and praise. Father, I pray for those that are with us this morning on Facebook live stream and on YouTube live streaming. I ask you, Father, that you would bless them. Father, if any of them are sick this morning, we speak healing over them and wellness in Jesus' name. We rebuke the devil by the blood of Jesus and by the power of Jesus' name. If those that are tormented or having issues with demonic problems, we rebuke the devil by the blood of Jesus. Stop, cease and desist your maneuvers against them now in Jesus' name. I command headaches to go. I command migraines to go in the name of Jesus and by the power of the blood of Jesus. Father, let the healing flow of the Lord Jesus Christ flow over those who are watching and those, Father, who are listening later by podcast, Father. Let your healing power rise up from within them where you live. Let it drive out every kind of sickness and weakness in Jesus' name. Those that are struggling in Jesus' name, be encouraged because the battle isn't yours, it's the Lord's. So thank you, Father God, for hearing and answering our prayer. Thank you, Father, for a settling of peace upon them, peace that surpasses understanding, that guards and keeps our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you for your grace and your peace being multiplied to these through knowing you. Thank you, Father, that they have great peace because they're taught of you. And we just ask you, Father, that that peace would surround them and fill them, that the presence of your Holy Spirit would fill their lives and fill their homes and fill their families, fill their workplaces, Father. Fill all the space that they're in when they go out from their homes in Jesus' name. And thank you, Father God, for delivering us from this plague. We give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Thank you for freedom in our nation, Father. Thank you, Father, for protecting those freedoms. And thank you, Father God, for granting us your grace and your favor every day in Jesus' name. And by the power of his blood, we make this declaration. It is well with our souls. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.